Well, thank you, Stephen. You've been a very dear friend to me over the years. We've often said we wished we lived a lot closer, and you've been a great encouragement to me at special times in my life as well. And Sermon Audio has just been an inestimable blessing to my own life and the lives of so many people. Just uncountable stories. My own son, my second son, was converted this past year, and he has just devoured Sermon Audio since then. He bought wireless earbuds, and he's like, it's 5-6 sermons a day. I was just saying to Bill, I thought that's the pipeline you were talking about, because it's just like this pipeline of truth that he's just sucking up. And there must be, you know, hundreds and thousands of such kids and men and women, old and young, all over the world, that have similar stories. I was telling Stephen, when I was converted, it was all I could get was 6 cassette tapes at a time from the States. And I would get them, and sometimes I would listen to them in a day or two, Al Martin and Walt Chantry, people like that. And then I'd send them back, and it would be 2 weeks before I get my next cassette. It was like a drought. So it's just amazing we have this facility, and it's been so well used. You see a lot of the back end, but there is a much bigger front end that is impacting this whole world and multiple generations and for eternity. So it's a great privilege for me to be here amongst you, and to bring a short message from God's Word. I wanted to read verses from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? But after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Well, the words I wanted to bring before you this evening are, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That was by special request. So I'm sure many of us have attended training meetings, read books, listened to motivational, organizational speakers, and one of the big things today is prioritizing. How do we get right priorities? And there are often these complex grids as to help us organize all our tasks into important and urgent, important, not urgent, neither important nor urgent, and so on. And what I think we see in these verses is Jesus sort of blowing all these things out of the water and saying there's only one thing that's important, and there's only one thing that's urgent, and that's the kingdom of God. Seek first. There's our prioritizing from a divine viewpoint. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So I wanted to just give you 10 very practical ways. You did say an hour.
Everybody's in shock.
I want to give you some practical ways how to actually do that. Because we can say that a lot, but what does that actually mean? Well, I think the first thing is to enter the kingdom. That's the first priority of life, isn't it? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that's where we must begin. I have to be born again. I have to have my heart renewed. I need God to come into my life in mighty saving power. And through that new birth, we enter the kingdom and we come under the king's authority. We become the king's servants and subjects. So, yeah, that's... We don't pass step one. We have to make sure step one is in our lives. That we enter the kingdom first. Before we ever talk about serving in the kingdom, advancing the kingdom, am I in the kingdom? So, enter the kingdom first. Number two is make kingdom interests your priority. So, you know, questions we ask ourselves often are things like, how is my family doing? How is my business doing? Or even, how is sermon audio doing? But the greatest question of all is, how is the kingdom doing? And that transcends churches, it transcends parachurch organizations, missions. It's like, You can be working, even in ministry, and sort of lose sight of kingdom interests. You can be in ministry and it can become a very selfish pursuit. I know that myself in the ministry. And motives can get all mixed up. So it's to try and keep that, you know, how is the kingdom going? That is my number one interest above my family, my ministry, my college football team, my political party, or whatever. Kingdom interests, first and foremost. And thirdly, it's to give the first of our time to the kingdom. And thinking especially here of the first moments of the day, the first minutes of the day. You know, that these are critical moments, I believe, for setting the tone of our day, the tone of our spiritual lives. I think our minds are especially sensitive and impressionable when we wake up. It's like, you know, sleep has cleansed our brains, as it were. We wake up with a blank slate, almost. And so what do we put in there first? Do we turn to email? Do we turn to internet news, social media, phone calls, family? Or do we turn to the king? And here, what are the king's instructions for me today? And have I spoken to the king? And again, we can be engaged in kingdom work, but we're not actually talking to the king, and we're not listening to the king. And so, instead of saying, oh, well, I'll do my devotions later, or I'll squeeze them in at the end of the day when there's not much left of us, give the first minutes of the day to the Lord. And that leads me on to, fourthly, give your first money to the Lord. It's very easy to say, well, you know, I've got this in my budget, and that in my budget, and this in my budget, and that in my budget, and, oh, there's a little bit left over for the Lord, and I'll give that. But we really want to make our offering to the King the first line item in our budget. That's what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. It's to say, what can I give to the Lord for all his gifts to me? So, the first money in our pocket as well. And then there's, give your best energies to the Lord. So, Stephen spoke about, you know, when you're young, it's a great time to serve the Lord. When you have all your energy and all your strength and all your faculties and all your powers. And he's worth it. He's worth our young years and our youthful years, our energetic years, our zealous years. Give them to him. And you might say, well, I'm older and I haven't done that. Well, whatever's left, you know, give the first of that energy to the Lord. Give the best of what you've got left for the Lord, for his service, and for his kingdom purposes. It's interesting, you're reading business literature. I've noticed a lot of emphasis these days is moving away from time management to energy management. So it used to be, you know, the holy grail was if we can manage our time better. But what the research is showing is that you will actually get far more productivity by thinking about managing energy. That's the key to multiplying our productivity. And that's got to be a concern for us when we think about the kingdom as well. That we're giving, you know, the best of our energy levels to the Lord. Also commit the first day to the kingdom. First day of the week. The Lord's Day. It's a day when we're really given this great opportunity to turn aside from our personal kingdom building and to turn away from all the kingdoms and empires of the world and think entirely for one day upon the eternal King and the eternal kingdom. And that makes all the other kingdoms kind of eventually look more proportionate. You know, if all we're thinking about all the time is my kingdom or, you know, our nation or the, you know, the ups and downs of politics, these become big things. And sometimes they invade the Lord's Day too. But if we can give the first day of the week to the Lord, all these things will look a lot smaller on Monday morning. And all our worries about them will be a lot smaller as well. It's interesting, this passage actually occurs in a passage in a chapter dealing with anxiety, isn't it? And a lot of our anxieties are related to the kingdoms that we let fill our minds and hearts. And the Lord is saying here, you get my kingdom first. A lot of these anxieties and fears, they will sort of fade away and settle down, and you'll live a lot more peaceable a life going forward. So give the first day of the week to the Lord as well. Also, view everything through a kingdom filter. So we read the news, we listen to the news, we watch the news. How is that entering us? Is it just going straight in our eyes, straight in our ears, straight in our minds, straight in our hearts, unfiltered? Well, it's going to do us a lot of harm if it is. But if we can bring a kingdom filter over our eyes and our ears, our minds and our hearts, the sense of this greater kingdom and a greater king, that changes the news as it comes into our lives. And it will cause us a lot less panic, a lot less anxiety. Seeking first the kingdom of God also means seeking the kingdom first in our decisions, in our planning. You know, we make plans for ourselves, make plans for our kids, make plans for our business. And we sometimes just don't ask that question, how will this affect the kingdom? I notice this especially with younger people, so there's a lot of mobility today. People can move around very easily and quickly and change jobs, change states, change churches, hopping here, there and everywhere, but it's usually driven by what will make me happy, what will make me feel better, what will make me more money, and very rarely is how will it affect the kingdom that comes into the equation, into the decision making. And so I really believe if we are seeking first the kingdom, that's one of the first questions we should be asking. The other questions are important, but this more than all, how will it affect the kingdom? Then prioritizing the kingdom in our prayers, in our prayer life. It's interesting, the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come," comes before, "Give us this day our daily bread." And it's important to pray about our needs and our families, but first and foremost, it's the kingdom in our prayers. And again, in ministry, that can often be lost. I've been at many prayer meetings, and a lot of personal needs are brought to the table for prayer, and that's important. But often there's virtually nothing about the kingdom and the mission of God in the world. And to seek first the kingdom of God is to prioritize his kingdom in our prayers. And lastly, it is to seek the salvation of our children first. You know, what do we want for our kids? Well, we want them to be healthy. We want them to do well at school. We want them maybe to go to college, get a good job, get a good wife or husband, get a nice house, you know, be comfortable. We can't deny we want all these things for our children, but sometimes that becomes everything. And I wonder if we were to ask our children, what do mum and dad, sorry, I'm in the US, what do mom and dad, mom and dad, what do they want for me most? I wonder what our children would answer. Would they say, they want me to be a Christian? They want me saved? They want me to be a follower of the King? Is that the over-abiding impression that we leave with our children? Again, I've noticed this in ministry. I've been involved in counselling a number of pastors over the years. And sometimes their ministries have come before their families. Their ministries have come before their children. And yet I truly believe to seek first the kingdom of God is to seek the salvation of our children first and foremost. That whatever they know about us, they know this, that we want, above everything else, we want them to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. So I leave these things with you as practical ways in which we can seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We want to enter the kingdom first. We want to seek kingdom interest first. We want to give our first money to the Lord, our first minutes to the Lord, first day of the week to the Lord. We want to give our best energies to the Lord. We want to view things through a kingdom filter. We want to ask how it will affect the kingdom in our planning and in our choices. We want to prioritize the kingdom in our prayers, and we want to seek the salvation of our children first of all. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you say, well, man, that's a ton of stuff to do and be. And I think that's why the promise that's attached to this is so important. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are all these things? Well, you know, he's talking about what we eat, what we drink, what we put on, shelter, the basics of life. The things that kind of occupy our minds often as a priority. He's saying you can actually stop thinking about these in an anxious way. You can let them fall down your list of priorities. Because if you make my kingdom number one, all the other things I'll take care of. Now, he doesn't promise us health, wealth, and prosperity, right? He promises enough, sufficient, the basics. But that's adequate to live in this world. All these things will be added to you. And I think to really sum it up, he's saying, you take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. So it's not like we have to add on to all our cares and concerns, making the kingdom first. No, he's saying, you make the kingdom first, I'll worry about the rest. And of course, he doesn't need to worry, because he's the king, and he will take care of his kingdom and of his subjects. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in your mission as well. And all the other things will be added to you. Try and keep the king and his kingdom first and foremost. Personal lives, the company life, the ministry life. And so many of the other things will fall into place under the Lord's sovereign grace. So may God bless you all and help all of us to do this better in the coming year and see God fulfill his promise to us as well. Let's pray together. Our great and glorious King, we thank you so much for calling us to serve you in your kingdom, for giving us this great and honourable calling of being your servants in your work. And we pray for your help with it. Help us to seek first your kingdom in all areas of life. And may this coming year be a year in which we see sermon audio used to further advance the kingdom in many lives and many countries. Take it, Lord, and multiply it in ways way above and beyond expectations or planning. And at the same time, help this whole team to keep you and your kingdom as the priority and see in amazing ways how all the other things are added, are taken care of, and provided for. Keep the team faithful. Keep them united. Keep the devil out. Prevent conflict. Give much grace and patience. Give repentance and forgiveness and reconciliation where there is any conflict and tension. And grant that we would yet see and hear and be encouraged by tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of people coming to the Lord Jesus through these sermons and going on with him even to the end of their days. We pray for the Lee family especially as they grieve a very painful loss at this time. We pray for Mrs. Lee especially, that you would be her companion and her support and her strength, and that she would find you to have everlasting arms underneath her, that she would sense your unfailing love. Help with all the difficulties, the challenges of the coming days and weeks, and show yourself to be a God who never leaves and who never forsakes, and who is with us even to the end of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.